Zechariah 2:1 and 2:2. Zechariah, I'll read these two verses and I'll let you be seated. I lifted up mine eyes again and looked, and behold, a man with a measuring line in his hand. Let's call it a string. It's some measuring line he's got. At this time, Jerusalem, the wall is collapsed. They want to rebuild it. And so they have to find something to stretch the line. Anybody ever got one of them little things you pull up and pop? You got to have two sides to pop it. It's got to be tied somewheres to pop. He's got to find somewheres to pop the line, to find out where the wall used to be and where it needs to be. And then said I, whither goest thou? And he said unto me, to measure Jerusalem, which is the walls, to see what is the breadth thereof and what is the length thereof. Amen. I want to preach a little while, or teach this morning from this thought, the beauty of a line. The beauty of a simple, simple line. Lord, I come before you this morning. I'm thankful, Lord, that you open up our understanding, because if you don't open up our understanding, it is just words. And Lord, once we understand it, let us not be just hearers of the word, but doers of it also, in the name of the Lord. Amen. You may be seated. The beauty of a line. Now, let me continue to read in Matthew 7:12 that Jesus talking said, therefore, all things whatsoever ye would that men should do to you, do ye even so to them. Whatever you want to, how you want to be treated, treat them first that way. And if they don't treat you that way, you keep treating them the way you want to be treated. See, that's that turning on you kind of thing. I've had that happen before. That, you know, when people, you take something, you try to take a bone away from a dog, he'll turn on you. Yeah, unless you're the real master. If my dog ever turns on me, I'll show him I'm the master. Amen. And so he's telling us here that do unto others basically is you'd have them to do unto you. He said, for this is the Old Testament. This is the law and the prophets. This is the line. This is the way they taught it, but they used a different principle of how they taught it. They used a 1-2-3-10 principle called 10 Commandments. Then he says an interesting thing. Enter ye in at the straight gate, S-T-R-A-I-T, which is not the same as S-T-R-A-I-G-H-T, although there are some similarities. The straight gate, straight is like, you ever heard of the Strait of Magellan? It's a constricted area. That's what it is. So he said, enter ye at the constricted gate, the straight one, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. So we understand from this right now, he said, I want you to enter in through a constricted gate. But there is a broad way, and this broad way leads to destruction, and it appears that most people will take the broad way. Because, the next verse says, because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth, it guides you unto life, and few be there that find it. You know how you find it? Look for your exit. You remember the sermon I preached? Don't miss your exit. Look for your exit. There is an. We're all on the Broadway, but you've got to find the exit. How many of you men ever missed your exit? Yeah. Some tell the truth, some don't. We all missed our exit. Then he says another interesting thing. Beware of false prophets. He starts off by telling us, for this is the law and the prophets. Just do unto others, you'd have them do unto you. But there's going to come along some phony prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing. They look like, smell like, but they don't act like sheep. But inwardly, they are raving wolves,
ravenous wolf, devouring wolf. They're wanting to destroy you. They don't want you to find your exit. The beauty of a line. Perhaps you remember, it wasn't that long ago, I taught a lesson, and I got up there and I said, what's the hardest thing you'll ever draw? And we talk about all kinds. But the hardest thing you'll ever draw is a line. Where do you draw the line? Sometimes you need a pastor to help you. That's what pastors do. They help you find the pasture so you know where the line in the pasture is. So the hardest thing that you'll ever know is, when do I cross the line? When is enough enough? Where is it that good becomes evil? When is this become sin? At what point is that? And so the Old Testament told us exactly where the line was by a system of thou shalt not and thou shalt not. And it gave us the line. So you knew where the line was. But in the New Testament, the Old Testament was the letter of the law. The New Testament was the heart or the spirit of the law. The letter of the law kills, but the spirit of the law maketh alive. Amen. Because many times, as I've said before, when you go to a stop sign and you don't stop all the way, I'm talking about till your head does that. And if you do that, you obeyed the letter of the law. But I didn't want to stop. So I disobeyed the spirit of the law. But on the other hand, you go up to the stop sign, you kind of slowly, ask me how I know this, you slowly go up there, but you don't stop all the way, and you look and you see a car way down there, and you go, well, there ain't nobody coming, I'll ease on out. It's the cop. And he saw me miles away, and he said, you didn't see that stop sign? I said, no, I didn't, I just kind of eased on out there, I just didn't see nobody coming. Well, I broke the letter of the law, but I didn't really break the spirit of the law because I didn't see anybody coming. I didn't see any need to do that. But I got the ticket anyway. The letter of the law told you exactly what to do. And it's like Paul said, that when you enforce the letter of the law, it brought about all manner of concupiscence, which is excessive desire. I'll show you. I'll look both ways. I will run it again when you ain't looking. It brings out this retaliation in you when someone enforces the letter of the law, when you was really, there was no need to. I could tell y'all some stories. We don't have time. Now, so we have the Old Testament that gave us the letter. We have the New Testament that said, obey from your heart. But can I tell you that the Old Testament and the New Testament were exactly the same line? There was no difference in the line. They were exactly the same line, but one you do from your heart, the other you do by commandment. Now, I like living from my heart a whole lot better than commandment. I hope you do too. Because I'm self-correcting. You heard what he said before we started. He said, if you've done anything wrong, time to repent. We're self-correcting. I don't need to do that. I need to obey the law. You know? I need to do what's right by my neighbor. I need to treat you right, you know. If I expect you to treat me right, I need to treat you right. It's just self-correcting. The Bible says, let a man so examine himself to see if he be in the way. If you look at yourself, you know, most diagnoses that are done on people are self-examinations. You go to the doctor and says, Doc, I got something wrong. That's where most of them start, with you telling him, not him telling you. So it's a fine line between how you treat others and how you want to be treated. Because many times we don't treat others like we want to be treated. I can't believe they told me that and you told other people that. And someone, this is may hit home, you're sitting there at the red light and they're texting away and your light turns green. You go, that joker. Ah! And the next time you're sitting at the red light doing this. And they're going, that joker. And okay, that was free. Where do you cross the line? Amen. I want you to remember a couple of phrases real quick. I am going to run out of time. I know I am. I got to hurry. One is to hold the line. Write that down. Hold the line. The other is to toe the line. I want you to remember these two things. Because the hold the line means that you're not going to yield to the pressures or the forces of a difficult situation. I'm going to hold the line. It's kind of like the army when they lined up in those foxholes. They'd hold the line. No matter how much machine gun comes, I'm going to hold the line. And so it is we need in the church. We need people that'll hold the line. Amen. You need a pastor that'll hold the line and not bend with the pressures that come upon him from sometimes you. I got to hold the line. But at the same time, it is your responsibility to toe the line. And to toe the line, T-O-E, not T-O-W, to toe the line is to accept the authority and rules and obey them. It's to accept it, toe the line, I'm going to accept it. Some things you don't understand, some things I don't understand. But as a pastor, many times I speak, I hope, out of the wisdom of God and tell you this is what I think you need to do. Well, if you trust me as your pastor, I would do that if I was you. You know, if you don't, then why are you here? And so a surveyor, if he wants to survey a piece of property, he's going to go out, and I got a couple lines here. Brother George, come help me. Can you unwind that?
Yes, sir.
If you can't, I'll get Ariel to do it. Wait, let's see here. Wait. It's loose over here. I'm trying to help you.
Well, you told me to do it.
I know, but there's one piece loose here somewhere.
I don't know.
Look right there. There it is. So you got to start with that.
I see what you mean.
Okay, undo it right down there.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
okay. Yeah. Now.
Where's Aaron?
Come on, Brother Weaver. I need you to do this one. Look. I help you out. No.
I'm doing the same thing.
Well, you can start over here. I think you had it right.
That's how they do it.
Okay. All right. We're going to get through this by the time Brother Cleary gets up here. Okay. They're going to unwind this line. And you see, a surveyor, when he wants to survey a place, you can do it however you want to. I got a pocket knife if that don't work.
Yeah, I think you're going to need to. That's too
much. Okay. And surveyor, he needs to have a line. Oh, Brother George. Look at all the kinks you're getting in it by doing that, brother. I need a tight line.
You've got something short.
It's always the pastor's fault. And so a surveyor, as I was saying, he looks for a landmark. Because he's going to have to stretch the line. And without a landmark, you can't stretch.
You're not going to need to stretch this line, I can promise you that.
My goodness. Brother Petrie, would you help him? We need to stretch this line out. You don't know if you want to? Oh, my goodness. Could I have your undivided attention? Okay. We're getting close. Because Wait a minute. I have a plan. Come here. Stand over here. I need a pillar of the church. I want you to be a pillar of the church. Come stand right here. You be a pillar of the church. Stand right there. I want you to be a pillar of the church, but I want you in the back.
With this line?
Yeah, bring that line with you. Give him a little line. This little line of mine. Okay. Brother Boykin, I need you to be a pillar of the church, my brother. Take that line. I saw a man with a line in his hand. There he goes. Now, no, wait. We got to go through here. Because straight is the way, and narrow is the gate. Set the hook. Okay. All right. Now. Okay. Now give him enough line. Yeah. Now tie yours onto there. You know how to tie a knot? Let me show you, Brother George. Do I have to do everything? Wait. No. You're wasting line. You don't want to do that.
Oh, you got time together?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, well, look. We got to bring this baby all the way up here. Both probably the same length.
Okay, now here's what you do. All you have to do to do that is just do that. Now you got that, okay? Now you understand that? Okay, now tie your two lines together. I'm going to show you how to do this. You just take two lines like this. You do like this. Push it through there like that. Done. Okay.
Y'all learned something. Learn that in Girl Scouts. Boy Scouts. Okay. Now, see, you're the pillar of the church, the landmark of the church. And you're the landmark of the church, and there's the landmark of the church. And we got to form a pasture, right? So I want you to tighten up your line. You tighten up your line. Tighten it up, tighten it up, tighten it up, tighten it up, tighten it up. Brother Boykin, hold it tight. Tighten it up, Brother Boykin. No, take his rope. You take his rope. Hey, take his rope. Yeah, now we're going someplace. Tighten it up. Now look, we got to tighten this up right here. Like this. You hold that. Got it? All right. Now, finally, we have the straight and narrow. We have now a pasture where I can preach to folks who want to walk the straight and narrow. This is the line. If you want to be in this church, you have to be inside the line. Bless God. False prophets will come around. But you know what? I don't have enough to preach to. So... just let's move the line, because I'm not preaching to enough folks. Let's move the line. Oh, but wait a minute. You see what's happening when you move the line, you move the landmark. See, when you move the line, you just move the landmark that got me here. Because this is what made the church in the first place, was people like you. And now we're trying to grow our church, and we're willing to, the Bible says, and it says in Proverbs, he said, remove not the old and ancient landmarks. Because now if you move that landmark, I don't know where the line is. I have no idea, because you moved the landmark. He told them, if your neighbor sets a landmark, do not move it. So get back in your place here. That you're forgiven, brother. Okay. Now, so what happens if we hold these landmarks, then, brother, you a good guy. I know you ain't living right, but you a good guy. I want to include you in our church. Praise the Lord. And you know, I don't want you. You, bless God, you a good tithe payer. I sure appreciate you. You know, I hate it. Your wife's not going to make it, but two shall be in the bed. One shall make it and the other one won't. So we're going to pray for her, you know. But brother, you're a really good coach. I don't want you to be lost. I got to stretch the line. Give me some slack. Huh? Give me some slack. So when we start slacking the line, now look, watch close. Brother, you wasn't supposed to move. You're the landmark. So when we start putting slack in the line, there is an angle to it. There's always an angle to it. I'm going to put you in because you're a good guy. I like you. You run a good business. I'll put you in because you... And we start now growing our church based upon angles. And we start growing it based upon what you can do for us. But the Bible says it is the straight and the narrow. This don't look straight anymore. Let's put it back. Put it back. Now, it's your job to get in here. It's your job to get in here. It's not my job to do this. It's not the preacher's job. It's nobody. It is your job for the word to be preached. Now let me tell you about the beauty of a line. Inside this is green pasture. Out there is what he called a fatherless field. A fatherless field. Now, had you rather be in the green pasture or a fatherless field? You know what a fatherless field is? A shepherdless field. Where there's no one cares, there's no correction, just eat the wild things you want to eat. But over here in my pasture, everything is planted. Everything is green and it is nourishable. But you know what? I've passed down the road and you have too. And you'll see an old cow, he's got green pasture. Here he is. Trying to get out. But I'm still saved. Eating briars over there when he's got greens over here. Trying to say, still be in the body of Christ, still be in the past, but I'm eating. How many times have you stuck your neck where it don't belong? Sticking your neck through the fence and over the line, trying to, you know where, you know, let me tell you where you're at, wherever your head's at. You are wherever your head is, but I'm still, no, you're not, your head is over here. I passed by the other day, I saw a little goat, and the guy had these little fence like the squares like this, and the little goat's got them horns kind of go backwards, you know. And that little goat stuck his head, going to get him a little nip or something. But when he got ready to go back, he was stuck. That's what's going to happen. You're going to get stuck. You'll be on this side eating over there, and you'll get stuck. Amen. And so it is up to you, my brothers and sisters, for the word of God to be preached. The beauty of a line is this. There's protection in here. There's salvation in here. There's help in here. This is a wilderness out here. Amen. Now, you know what you'll see when you come to, when you see a cow eating through the, all they ever do is walk the line. They'll walk the line. That's what saints do. Many times they walk the line. So let's just move our landmark. Let's just say, hey, well, I got to grow this church. Bless God. Get over there. Get over there. Go as far as you can go. Let's just, as far as you can go. Go that way, brother. No, you keep it tight. Wait, brother. Boy, can keep it tight and just go as far as you can go because I just got to build a church. I got to have a lot of people in it. And we need the money anyway. Praise the Lord. Just go as far as you can go. Oh, yeah, we just got to be inclusive. We got to be inclusive, sister. We got bills to pay. You know that. We got to just be inclusive. And so what happens is where was that landmark? Where was it over here? Was it over? We've lost it. And what happens is the next generation comes along and says, "What did Daddy believe? What did Mama believe?" That's why when they crossed Jordan River, Joshua said, go back into the river and get some stones and stack them up. Tell them this is the line. Jordan River was the line. This is where we came out and crossed over. Don't go back on that side of the line. And it was left there for a memorial for I don't know how long, but for years to come. So if we're not careful, we keep moving the line and moving the line. Till before long, where is the line? Now, if you put a cow or a saint in this much pasture, many of them are going to eat right at the line. Can I tell you, if a farmer says, I want a bigger pasture, that same cow is going to eat at that line. They're going to eat that line because it's a line cow. Next time you pass by a field, you just look. Someone's going to be, you'll always remember the sermon. It's Brother Baggett's sermon, reaching through that fence, through that line. And saints, if we're not careful, what happens is churches are trying to grow exponentially by moving the line. And then you know what happens? Those people that were on that line, they're on this line. You know why? Because they can. You know why a cow don't stay right here? Because he can go over there. That's what sheep do. Sheep go within the pasture that's provided for them. And it is my duty to God, not to you, but my duty to God, get back over here, brother, where you belong. You get back where you belong. You get back where you belong. Sometimes you have to reestablish the line. Amen. Yeah. Thank the Lord. Square this thing up. Amen. Thank you, gentlemen. Now roll that line back up like it was. Deuteronomy 27 and 17 says this, cursed be he that removeth his neighbor's landmark, and all the people shall say Amen. Let it be so. Remove not the ancient landmark, Solomon said, which thy fathers have set. Remove not the old landmark, he said in another place, and enter not into the fields of the fatherless. Now, had you rather eat in a pasture or in a field? Come on. Browsing around on all the wild things out there. I want what God has planted for me. I want what God has given for me. I want this way to lead me to life everlasting. If you eat in this channel, it leads you through the narrow gate to life everlasting. If you're out there, you're on your own. You're on your own. It is a pastor's duty to hold the line. It's your duty to toe the line. It's my duty to say, bless God, this is what we believe. It's your line to say, well, I may not understand it, but I'm going to go with it. Or if you do understand it and you believe it, then I like it. That's good. But you can just let it right there, Brother George. It's good. But it is up to you to stay within the provisions that God has provided for you inside of this church. So we find in this example this morning, I was just picking, brother, but you're doing a good job. Keep on going. The only way to really move the line is to move the landmark. So if the surveyor ever moves, you know, when they first go out there to shoot the survey, they're not looking for the line. They're not saying, well, there's got to be a line here somewhere. That line disappeared a long time ago. What they're looking for is the ancient landmark. Because if you'll show me the landmark, I can stretch the line. I can find out where the line is. Now, too many times, you see, the line works like this. See, I got a line of sight. Right? If you get between me and where I want to go, I see you. I don't see where I want to go. It's a line of sight. That's a straight line. When I look straight. But if I see more of him than I do you. Okay? And if we're not careful, we'll be like you. The vision of Isaiah, it said, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord high and lifted up. I saw more of King Uzziah until he got out of the way. And then I saw the Lord. And that was the vision of Isaiah. You've got to get things out of your vision. If I put my hand here, I don't care how far I can see. I can't see beyond what obstructs my vision. And anger can obstruct your vision. Malice can obstruct your vision. So that you don't see. Sin can obstruct your vision. So that you don't see clearly where your God is taking you. Because if I try to walk around like this, I'm going to run into everything. But if I remove the obstacle, if I remove the obstruction, then I can see clearly where I want to go. Jacob's ladder came down from heaven, right? It was set up on earth and it reached into heaven. That's a straight ladder. Anybody ever got a crooked? You got a crooked ladder? The only crooked ladder I got is the one I backed over. And I don't use it anymore. I had a brand new ladder. Brand new ladder. Oh, yeah. Well, she had a brand new ladder. I never told you, Sister Cindy, but it's at your house. I went to help you do your good deed, and I forgot I had that ladder behind my truck. Clunk, clunk. And she hasn't left. I bought you another one, though, didn't I? She's not telling them all the truth. I did buy another. She, yeah. But Jacob's ladder was an extension. It was set up on earth and reached into heaven. It was an extension from earth to heaven. And he had a vision there where he could see angels going up and down the ladder. Now just get me a crooked ladder. There's no crooked ladders. So if you're going to climb higher and higher in living for God, you need to stay in the straight and the narrow. You'll waste a lot of time out there. Amen. You just think how far you could be in living for God if you just stayed within the lines. The line is there. It's a beautiful thing. Somebody said, well, I just don't think when you... It's a beautiful thing for somebody to tell you, hey, bless God, don't go there. Don't do those things. That's a beautiful thing. My daddy and my mama said, son, you can't go here. You can't go there. Now, you can go here and you go here and be home at certain time. That's the line. They loved me. That's why they did it. They loved me. The line is an act of love. Not hate. Not, it shouldn't be a power thing. Are you going to do what I say? That's not what it is. It's an act of love, because I know if you get outside this line, you're on your own. It's a fatherless field. I only go this far to help you. And I'll reach across the line. But out there, it's a fatherless field. And so it is, my brothers and sisters, what you and I need to be willing to do is to stay with what got us here. We're going to be moving, right? We're going to be moving. I'm going to stay with what got us here. Amen. What got us here was what got me here was my grandpa. And what got me here was my dad. And what got me here was them obeying the Lord. And that's all I know to do, Brother Valentine, is obey the Lord. And the line becomes then a beautiful thing, not a cursed thing, not a hard thing. Somebody said, they're too hard over there. Well, you know, let me tell you something. When you get to heaven, tell the Lord it was just too hard. You know something? This is personally what I believe. I want everybody to be saved. I don't have a line because I hate those folks over there and I hate what they... That's not it. I'm trying to save you and myself as well. Did you know the shepherd's got to be saved with the sheep? Amen. And so I'm trying to save you and save myself. And so I want them to get inside the line. But if I just say, well, just bless God, whatever y'all want to do over here, and bless God, y'all just do what y'all want over here, I destroy my own self. Because in my heart, I know that's not right. I know what it leads to. The Bible says to make no provision. You know what a provision is? It's something you do before it actually happens, right? So if you make provision, go camping, right? Well, you don't tell anybody, we're going to go camping. You don't get a tent. You don't get a light. You don't get some matches. You're going to have a miserable time. But if you get the provisions for it, then you can have a nice camping trip. But here's what he says. Make no provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. So when you begin to provide your flesh with the things that become sin, there, my brother and sister, where you say, this will cross the line. But I don't feel like, let me tell you, when Abraham and Lot split, told Lot, he said, you go wherever you want to go. You go to the right, I go to the left. You go to the left, and I'll go to the right. I preached a sermon called one time, take what's left and you'll be right. So he said, I'll take what's left. You go whatever direction you want. I'll take the other direction. And the Bible says that Lot lifted up his eyes and saw, that's where I want to be. That ain't how mama raised me, but that's for me. I got some cows. I got plenty of cows. That's well watered over there. And he goes over there, and the Bible says he vexed his own righteous soul with their day-to-day conversation. And where do we find Brother Lot at the end of the day before the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah? At the gate. He's at the gate. He's the gatekeeper where all the business transactions go and judgment. He's like a little judge there now. See what happens? He made provisions, and he ended up over there. So how do you know, my brothers and sisters, when you're crossing the line? When you start seeing the provisions beginning to happen. No one ever got across the line and just said, well, I'm tired of living. God, let me get this over here. No, it was like it started eating through the fence. And you found a little crack. Those cows that eat through the fence, they get butchered many times. Talk to a cow, he keeps getting out. That one's going to the slaughter next time. Because they'll keep going down the line, and you know what they eventually find down the line? A break in the line. God bless you this morning. I have run completely out of time. Amen. I want you saved, and I want to be saved too. Amen. God bless you. Keep this in mind as you go down the road and see all the cows eating through the fence. Amen. God bless you. We'll be back for morning worship in just a few minutes.